The term hacking appears to be going through a rehabilitation cycle at the moment. It is still not a happy term the way many people use it, as in, my email got hacked or my Facebook account got hacked. But hacking was once meant to signify an adventurous spirit. And it is in that spirit that a National Day of Civic Hacking will be observed this weekend, not just in the United States, but in many parts of the world. Civic hacking? Well, that's a term that might take some explaining. Let's talk to two people who know a little bit about the concepts behind the National Day of Civic Hacking. Nick Skitlin is a partner at Second Muse. Nick, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. We also have with us Brandon Barnett, who's the Director of Business Innovation at Intel. He's also with the Business Innovation Factory. Brandon, welcome to you.
Hi, Jeff. Nice to be here.
Let's get to know a little bit of each of you first. Nick, I understand you spent a fair amount of time at NASA.
That's right. Yeah, I spent pretty much the first 15 years of my career at NASA leading our Open Innovation Program and doing a lot of things like National Day of Civic Hacking in the government.
And why'd you leave NASA? I'm just curious.
Well, because we saw so much potential in civic hacking and just mass collaboration in general that we wanted to do more with it. And so we started National Day of Civic Hacking. I joined a small firm that's focused on innovation and strategy called Second Muse, and this is what I do full-time now.
All right, so both of you clearly involved in lots of aspects of innovation. Brandon, I read your piece about embracing the complexity. Who needs to embrace the complexity and to what end?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, that's kind of a simple way to summarize the fact that we all live within large, complex systems, and those systems are complex, meaning that all the factors within those systems interact with each other. And from that interaction, order emerges. And if we can understand those interactions and understand that order, then maybe we have a way to take action through programs like the National Day to try to create the systems, the environments that we want.
So what you're saying then is we need to be aware of the fact that there are lots of little details that need to be observed, and it may look like chaos, but there is actually some order to it all?
Oftentimes there is some order to it all, that's right. And while there are lots of details, often if you think about it from a lens of complexity, looking at these interactions, some simple answers can emerge on where to focus your actions and activities in order to create a better system.
So let's address the issue of the term hacking. And Nick Skitlin, does it predate computers?
Definitely. We actually had a guy write in last year that told us a story about hackers in World War II when jets and planes would get back from a night at war and they were all beat up. They would mechanics would take them apart, piece them together, and get the plane flying again. And that's what we really think about when we think about hacking. It's somebody who is really good at using minimum resources and really maximum brain power and ingenuity to create, enhance, or fix something. And so we see, technologists, educators, artists, designers, entrepreneurs, anybody really who's willing to collaborate with others to build an event using open source technology as a civic hacker.
So it didn't begin with a malicious connotation. It's more just about the guys who are willing to hack in there and make something happen and put together some sort of a Frankenstein thing, and that instead of those who are going to carefully plan and everything has to be just so.
That's right, yeah. It never really started with such a negative connotation to it. It was a really positive term that was that kind of got a negative vibe over the past couple of years, and so we're really trying to just revive what the original meaning is all about.
And so, Brandon Barnett, let's get into the idea of civic hacking then in the context of this National Day of Civic Hacking. And in this day, who does what to whom or what?
In terms of hacking?
Yeah.
I think Nick alluded to the fact that it's not all that structured. Second Muse does a nice job of creating a forum for some structure to take place, so locations can sign up and local communities can come together and be a part of this national event. People and organizations like federal agencies can post challenges, can post data, but then it's a very organic process on the day or 2 days of the hackathon itself, where teams kind of organically form around ideas that people are really committed to and passionate about, and then people roll up their sleeves and get to work.
And I noticed that there are two events in the Portland area. Are you directly involved with either one of those?
Yes, there's two events in Portland, and we're collaborating. I'm involved in one. It's kind of a unique aspect of hacking in that we're trying to apply hacking and technology to urban development, and we're working with the local developer to experiment with that.
So what kinds of processes are you looking to work on, and what kinds of results are you trying to achieve, or do you even know the result part yet?
Well, typically hackathons go best if you have some sort of goal in mind to kind of create a framework for people to work within, although not always people don't always follow that framework, and that's fine. But we're looking for a variety of levels. We're looking for simple technologies that people might create to solve specific problems within our urban environment. So one of the ideas that we tossed around as an example was, what if you could reserve a parking space, a parking meter, realizing that a large driver of congestion in urban areas is just people looking for parking. And so what if you could kind of use technology to make that a seamless experience and allow people to do that and actually solve a civic problem using technology? We're also looking at a much kind of broader level of what does it mean to have an urban space that is on the forefront of innovation, where companies and economic regions and entrepreneurs and developers can come together and really create a new form of innovation for development.
We're talking about the National Day of Civic Hacking, which actually goes beyond the boundaries of the United States, with Brandon Barnett. He's the Director of Business Innovation at Intel and is also attached to the Business Innovation Factory. Nick Skitland is a partner at Second Muse, and you can call us on the Jefferson Exchange or email us with your ideas about the National Day of Civic Hacking or your questions as well. What sorts of things are going on? Well, help us answer that at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. As I scan the national calendar or the national map to look for events in various states, there were the two in Oregon that we just mentioned with Brandon, and found one in our part of California. Rachel Hatch is involved with that in Redding. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
So tell us about the National Day of Civic Hacking and how it will be observed in Redding and when.
So in Redding this Sunday, we're going to do just our first kind of experiment with the National Day of Civic Hacking, and this was spurred by the recent news about, you know, when Redding has actually made the national news. So, for instance, the Gallup well-being poll just came out that said we were ranked 187th out of 189 communities for well-being. The Wall Street Journal followed up with an article saying we were the third most miserable city in America. And there's just a group of people that started thinking, you know, this is a really interesting image. We're starting to form of Redding in the larger context, and couldn't we try to hack that image? Couldn't we try to change it in some sort of positive way in terms of the story, hack the narrative, hack the story? So our project is going to be coming up on Sunday, and we thought, well, how can we actually hack the story and the way we present ourselves to the outside world? We're going to start that by hacking the Wikipedia page for Redding, California. And so in this, we're just thinking, how can we add to it, contribute to it, to really give voice to some of the vital activities that are happening in our community that will give a more accurate picture of it than what we may be getting in national press. So that's our experiment. We'll just try it out on Sunday.
I'm curious to know what's there now on the Wikipedia page. I mean, have you examined it enough to know? Does it make reference to the things like the third most miserable city in America?
It doesn't yet. It doesn't have our most recent news rankings on it. But just to give you an example, you know, one of the really formative cultural hubs in Redding, you know, is the Cascade Theater, just right in the heart of downtown. And if you compare the word count for the Cascade Theater and another story that's on the Wikipedia page, this is the lynching of the Ruggles brothers, which is in the history section on the Wikipedia page, there's four times more coverage of that story by word count than there is about the Cascade Theater. So history is important for sure, but we need to think about, you know, how to proportionately represent the impact that these kinds of elements have in the community as they get expressed today. So that's just an example of where we start to think, well, maybe we could hack that somehow.
So Rachel Hatch, in the case of trying to come up with an event to correspond with the National Day of Civic Hacking, are you trying to find a physical place to do this? I mean, do you have a core group of people already committed to it? I mean, do you have any idea of what, you know, in terms of location and space and people?
We're convening a small group of creatives and writers and some coders and developers, all of whom are community-minded. So you don't have to be a tech person, you know, hardcore tech person to be a civic hacker. And we're thinking it'll be probably about 20 people. And we're convening at a location in Redding called Code It. This is a kind of a maker and coding space that's just a couple of years old now. And they, you know, they do offerings where kids can come in and learn how to code, or people can come in and use different tools to be able to make, you know, physical material objects as well. So that's going to be our site for it starting Sunday at 2 p.m. And, you know, we're just going to learn our way into it, see what happens this first time around.
All right, Rachel Hatch has joined us from the from Reading to talk about the Reading event coming up this Sunday for the National Day of Civic Hacking. Rachel, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you. We're also talking to Nick Skitland at Second Muse and Brandon Barnett, Director of Business Innovation at Intel. And you can join us as well again, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. So, Brandon, to come back to you, though, about the idea of levels of skill here. I mean, if people are not coders or you know, they might be good computer end users but don't know about, much about programming, is there much use for them? Are there things for them to do in the National Day of Civic Hacking?
Absolutely. In fact, I find that the best teams with the best solutions are multidisciplinary. They do have some often coders, but people helping from a design standpoint or a business standpoint. And I think Rachel really articulated well some challenges that her local community is facing that aren't necessarily all technical, right? They involve other disciplines. And it often takes somebody who understands, coming back to that complexity in the systems thinking, you know, what are the really key elements that we're trying to influence here? And it takes that knowledge, you know, based on a kind of personal knowledge set about a domain, education, healthcare, urban development, et cetera, to guide and contribute to that technical solution to make the best solutions and best teams.
So, Nick Skitland, for the people who are not even up to the end level user, I mean, people who are like, you know, might use whiteout on a computer screen, I mean, what things can they do to feel useful on the National Day of Civic Hacking?
So, as Brandon kind of mentioned, that it's really fantastic when we have not only developers show up and technologists, but we have anybody. And National Day of Civic Hacking was really designed so that any citizen that just feels empowered and wants to participate and improve their local community, they just show up to an event and they can get involved. And we have a number of challenges. There's over 30 challenges that are listed on the website, hackforchange.org. And those challenges range from local challenges to federal challenges, challenges offered by different federal agencies. And so there's a number of different opportunities, everything from figuring out a new way for the Peace Corps to interface with their volunteers to building software for local municipalities to just ideating about how we might be able to address climate change. And so there's a lot of different ways. You don't have to be just a software developer. Even the software challenges have ways for non-software folks to participate. And so it's more of a matter of just showing up and getting involved, and then it's easy from there.
Are there logical follow-ups, gentlemen, to the National Day of Civic Hacking? I mean, there are so many events that go on in communities right now, like, you know, trash pickups and things like that, things that people find as physical sorts of things that need to happen in their towns. I mean, are there combinations of events that come out of the National Day of Civic Hacking? Because this is not the first one, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So this is actually the second National Day of Civic Hacking, and really this was born out of a number of other events that are already happening, like Random Hacks of Kindness and the Code for America Brigade meetings that are taking place in over 60 cities around the United States. And so what we've done was we've just created a way to align a lot of the efforts that are already taking place and focus them on having positive impact on one weekend. But this doesn't mean that this is the only weekend throughout the year that citizens should engage with their communities. It's just really meant to kind of be that catalyst to spur innovation and get people started.
Let us take a call. We have Nick Skitland and Brandon Barnett on the line, and here is Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the National Day of Civic Hacking.
Howdy. The Reading experiment seems to be more of a exercise in public relations rather than in exercise to change things on the ground, like the VA. For example, needs a great deal of hacking to go on just to catch up with their backlog of patients and to redistribute them into private care. That's what's going to happen. What actual changes that you can actually see rather than just a feel-good PR exercise that's going on in Reading that will really change things?
All right, good question. Thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. And let me see if Rachel is still on the line. Rachel, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I totally agree that there's no shortage of things that need to be hacked, for sure. And I think that the message that we're after with this event is not just to, you know, gloss on the surface but really to think about the way that we present ourselves to the community actually has an economic development impact. So you imagine, you know, this is an area that's really badly in need of talent, and we're a more rural area, so we don't necessarily attract people who can bring sort of high-powered jobs, start high-powered businesses here. And so to me, I see this as one potential impact could be in an economic development realm, that somebody, you know, say in Portland, scans, you know, looks up Redding, California. They just do a Google search when they're thinking where they might move. And right now, the Wikipedia page comes up and it presents a certain image of Redding that may actually turn someone off from moving here. So that's the small, you know, it's a very small scale. We're really trying to think about what's actionable in a single afternoon because we're new at this. And in that kind of time frame, we're thinking, well, we might be able to make some small change to the way that we present ourselves in hopes that there's we can sort of tinker our way towards an economic development impact.
It sounds like a lot of thought went into this to figure out what the good scale was. I mean, you can certainly take any one of a number of approaches to improving life in your community, but first of all, telling the world a slightly different story seems like a good, manageable place to start.
We hope so. You know, there are plenty of ways that Redding's image is presented to the outside world, and so the thing that attracted us to Wikipedia is that it's a commons-based resource, so anyone can contribute to it, anyone can author it. There's no one owner of a Wikipedia page. And so the task that, you know, the challenge for us really is to present the community in a factual way, since it's an encyclopedia. So this isn't about, you know, glossing over anything that's wrong with the community, but also including those things that are vital cultural activities. And so we thought, well, what could we actually accomplish in a single afternoon? So that's why we're biting off that piece. Totally agree with the other caller, though, around the need to hack the VA. I think that's something that someone should undertake, and I fully support that.
All right, let's go a little bigger with that concept then. And Nick Skitlin, I haven't asked you what you're doing on this National Day of Civic Hacking. I'm going to assume it's not hacking the VA, but I mean, this is an interesting concept that people are using terms like this now. But hey, let's get in there and see if we can fix the problems by hacking the VA. What are some of the larger ones that you're aware of out there on this National Day of Civic Hacking?
Just to clarify, what are some of the larger challenges that people are working on?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have a number of challenges from federal government agencies like the VA. So we have challenges from FEMA, from NASA, from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Organization, from the Federal Highway Administration, and even from the White House. And so, you know, what's great about National Day is that it's an opportunity for people at a local level to come together and voluntarily combine their data or their insights or their talent with the data that's released by large federal government agencies for the benefit of improving just their communities and providing value for people in general. And so, for example, if a person kind of shares their habits around transportation and combines that with data released from a public agency about maybe transit buses, and then they combine that and mash that up with traffic data, what they might be able to do is develop an app that is relevant to their local community that provides more efficient transit routes for everyone. And so that's what we're trying to do the National Day, where we not only just focus on improving large-scale government like the VA, but we do that with an eye to making sure that it's relevant at a local level for the participants who are showing up and taking action. We want this to be an opportunity for people to improve their local communities as well as large government agencies.
All right, so if we put the word hacking aside for a moment, because it might still scare a few people, the fact is what you're really talking about is a coming together of people with ideas for improving their communities, and it's being done in a very short, fairly intensive sort of set of sessions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really kind of a more decentralized, participatory, and innovative approach, and we're just taking advantage of the fact that we have collaborative technology that allows us to do this today, and our goal is to build more effective institutions and government. And it really takes that collective genius of people everywhere to solve the challenges, because often these challenges are bigger than any one of us can solve alone, or any large organization or any community. It takes really, truly a collaboration to solve some of these big challenges.
All right, but even if you come up with the best ideas in the world, the fact is if you were able to hack the VA and say, hey, we got the answer to your problems here, or for that matter to the local bus line and say, hey, here are the better routes than the ones you're serving now, you still have to have people in positions of power accept your work.
That's exactly right, and that's why all the challenges you see we have for National Day of Civic Hacking have somebody that's interested in them. They have a customer per se. And so we don't just put any challenge out there. We really want challenges where we have somebody who's really interested, a stakeholder who's really interested in seeing a solution come out of it.
And so, Brandon Barnett, how do you move some of these things into the real world? I mean, once you get acceptance, I mean, even in the example you gave earlier about looking for a way to reserve a parking meter in Portland, for example, there are still things in the physical world that have to happen, like somebody has to not take your parking meter when you're lining up to move into that parking spot, et cetera.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I think you've hit upon something that we're really working on with Second Muse and understanding, you know, the value of these hackathons and how to maintain that momentum. And one of the benefits of having this kind of umbrella of this national event is that we are building and catalyzing a community that doesn't just disappear after the 2 days, that continues to communicate and look forward to the next event and the next year's event and their local events. And the other thing that we're doing is trying to understand how to take these projects that come out of a, you know, really focused 2-day effort and bring those to the next stage, get them to actual products or business viability or find that stakeholder. One of the things Intel did that my team sponsored was solicited ideas out of the National Day of Civic Hacking from last year and picked 6 of them to run an accelerator, largely chosen from that hackathon. And so we advanced those teams from kind of prototypes and ideas, some of whom just met each other for the first time, to actually products and businesses that are viable today.
All right, exciting stuff. And you can find all the details at hackforchange.org. That's how you can find events going on in your area. That's how we found Rachel Hatch. Rachel, thank you for joining us from Reading. Nick Skitland and Brandon Barnett, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about the National Day of Civic Hacking.
Nice to talk to you, Jeff.
You bet. Coming up, Garrison Keillor after the break.